Dear devotees, we'll be continuing with the Bhakti Shatak from Doha number 10. In Doha number 10, we learn about the actual practice of sadhana bhakti, where Sri Maharaji reconciles the confusion regarding all the different ways of practicing bhakti by telling us that your mind has to be in God. That's the main thing. Then everything else will fall into place.
Jai Radhe Krishna, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe Krishna, Radhe. 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 Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Sab sadhan janu deh sam rup dhyan janu pran radhe radhe Sab sadhan janu deh sam rup dhyan janu pran radhe radhe Thank you. हात गीधरु स्वान जनु कामादिक शवमान राधे राधे शवमान खात गीधरु स्वान जनु कामादिक शवमान राधे राधे जय राधे कृष्ण राधे 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 कृष्ण 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 राधे
We learned yesterday that there are two types of bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, which must be done, and siddha bhakti, the divine bhakti, which is received once our heart is fully purified. That divine bhakti is the ultimate goal. That's the ultimate divine bliss of God. But it can only be received into a divine heart, and in order to get a divine heart, well, Guruji, a true Guru, will make our heart divine the moment our heart is 100% purified. How is the heart or mind purified? Simply by attaching it to God. God is like pure water that washes all the impurities out of the mind gradually. The more you keep bringing God into your mind, the more the mind gets purified. So true sadhana means attaching your mind to God. However, when it comes to devotion, there are many, many ways that people practice. Another word for devotion or bhakti is upasana. Upasana is a common word that means worship of God. But if you look at the actual literal meaning of the word based upon the Sanskrit root, upasana actually means paas rehna. Man bhagwan ke paas rehna. Upasana. Upasan. Up mane paas. Asan mane rehna. Baithna. So, the mind staying close to God is upasana. That's bhakti. Vedavyasji is the knower of all of the Hindu scriptures. He rewrote the Vedas 5,000 years ago, rewrote the Ramayana, produced the 6 Darshan Shastras, wrote the Mahabharata, 18 Puranas, Gita, Bhagavatam. He knows all of our scriptures, and he says, Alodya sarva shastrani vicharya cha punah punah idamekam sunishpannam dhyeyo narayano hari. He tells us that, you know what, I did manthan, alodya sarva shastrani, all of the scriptures. He knows all of them. He says, I did manthan. When you do manthan, it means that you churn that thing to see what's the best thing that rises to the top. So he said, vicharya cha punah punah. Maine bar bar manthan kiya. I went through all of our shastras again and again and again to see what is the essence, what's the most important thing. Idamekam sunishpannam, one thing rose to the top. Dhyeyo narayano harihi. Dhyan, remembering Hari. That's what he says. Imagine, out of millions of mantras and shlokas, it comes down to Dhyeyo narayano harihi. That's it. That's the one thing Vedavyasji says we have to do. Dhyan of Hari, remembering or meditating upon Shri Krishna. So here in this doha, Shri Maharaj says, Sab sadhana janu deha samarupa dhyan janu pran. In the previous verse also, he talked about how without bhakti, karma, yoga, and jnana are like a body without a soul. He again uses this analogy here, saying that all other practices of devotion are like the body, and Rup Dhyan is like the pran, the life or the soul. What is Rup Dhyan? Dhyan, right? Same word. Dhyeyo Narayano Harihi. Dhyan of Shri Hari. Dhyan meaning to hold in your mind. So Rup Dhyan is just being more specific. What are you going to hold in your mind? His Rup, his form. If you're going to think of Shri Krishna, his form will be the first thing to come in your mind. If you're, let's say you have 6 kids and they're all playing in the next room, and you want to get the attention of your second eldest child. Maybe his name is Ram. But you have 6 kids, and sometimes you forget whose name is which. So you're thinking, you want to call his name, you know they're all playing in the next room, you're thinking, what's his name? You're getting ready to call his name, and what's coming in your face, in your mind, is his face. Right? His Roop comes in your mind. You're trying to remember his name and you're seeing his Roop. And then you remember, oh yes, it's Ram, Idrao. So when you think of someone, their Roop comes first. Same thing with God. If we want to think of God, we think of his Roop. Roop Dhyan is a form of meditation where we just close our eyes and we picture Shri Krishna, Radha Krishna, right there in front of us. Just like you can picture your own son or daughter's face, your own mother or father's face, your husband or wife's face. You can picture them. You haven't met Shri Krishna face to face, physically, but you're not far from him. He's right here, and you've seen pictures of him. If there was some movie star you've never met, But you've seen him in the movies. You've seen pictures of him. You've read interviews with him. So you've read articles written about him where people have described he's like this, he's like that, these are his hobbies, this is what he likes to do. So you've read about him, you've seen pictures, but you've never met him. You can still close your eyes, right, and think about him. You can think, oh, what would it be like to meet Shah Rukh Khan? You can do Roop Dhyan of Shah Rukh Khan. Why can't we do the same with Shri Krishna? Just because you've never met him, that makes no difference. Saints have told us so much. We have huge volumes of descriptions. What is he like? What kind of leelas did he do? What does he wear? How does he walk? How does he talk? Exactly how does he look? Every detail. So we can just follow those descriptions and make our own imagination. See, when you think of Shah Rukh Khan, you're not going to imagine his face exactly as it is, are you? But your intention is there, even though you're not imagining Shah Rukh Khan exactly as he is. If in your mind your intention is you're thinking of Shah Rukh Khan, what's going to happen? Your mind is becoming more and more attached to him. Even if your imagination of him is not perfect. The same thing happens with God. Shri Krishna blesses you for your intentions, not for your success in meditation. He knows, oh, you're trying to think of me? He graces you. There's an instant connection. No movie star can grace you. You just create your own attachment in your mind to that person. That person won't even know that you're thinking of them, won't care, won't have any kind of telepathic connection with you. But Shri Krishna is right here. So the moment you think of him, he knows. In fact, he was watching. When is this soul going to think of me so I can grace them? Oh, he turned his mind towards me. Instantly, he's gracing. He's omnipresent, so he doesn't have to go from anywhere, come from anywhere. He's already here with each and every one of us. So he can instantly give us his grace. This is the power of Roop Dhyan. It's actually much easier and much more powerful than meditating on any worldly person, because God knows when you're thinking of him, and he rewards you instantly for that effort that you're making. So we call this Roop Dhyan. It's the integral practice of devotion. It's the soul, and all other practices are like a body. So if you take the soul out, what happens? Kaat gidha swana janu. Dogs and vultures eat the dead body, right? So if we remove Roop Dhyan, we're not thinking of God, but we're doing aarti, we're doing kirtan, we're doing jap, we're visiting holy places, coming to the mandir and bowing our head down, we're physically doing devotion, that's like the body. And if while we're doing that, our mind is somewhere else, we're not doing Roop Dhyan, then it's like a dead body. It's of no value. We're just going through the motions. We're physically there doing devotion, but it has no actual devotional value. Because our mind is not connecting to God, then how will the mind get purified? Which is the main point of doing devotion, is to reach that state of 100% purity. So that's why Sri Maharaji says Roop Dhyan is the soul. In other words, it's a must. If you are doing Roop Dhyan, any form of physical devotion is correct. Go to Vaishno Devi, doing Roop Dhyan, correct. Go to Jagannath Puri, doing Roop Dhyan, correct. Come to Radha Govinda Dham, doing Roop Dhyan, correct. Stay in your home, doing Roop Dhyan, correct. But do anything without Roop Dhyan, no devotional benefit from that. It's spending a good time. You're doing some good-looking action, but it's not really counting as bhakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji called this difference between the two anasanga bhakti and sasang. Sang meaning the joining of your mind with God. So sasang, with your mind joined with God, and anasang, without the mind joined with God. The internal devotion is called antaranga sadhana, internal practice of devotion. Everything else is called bahiranga sadhana, external devotion. So external devotion is a helper. Why do we do kirtan? It helps us do Roop Dhyan. The kirtan itself is not an end. The kirtan itself, without Roop Dhyan, does not have the power to purify your heart. It's just a vocal exercise. We've taken God's name uncountable times. Half the people we know are named after one name of God or another. So if someone says, oh, but God's name is all-powerful, how can you say kirtan is not, won't have the power to purify your heart without doing Roop Dhyan? No, that's the way it is. Jasu naam sumirat ikbara utarahi nar bhav sindhu apara. Tulsidas ji says, you should only have to take God's name once. It's that powerful. But you have to take it with full faith, full Roop Dhyan. This is Shri Krishna's name. It's not just a word. So we've never done that. But we've taken his name uncountable times in this life. Never mind all of our past uncountable lives. We've never attained him because we never took his name with full faith. So just the name without Roop Dhyan is not enough. Our mind has to be in God. So we have to do Roop Dhyan. Roop Dhyan is the soul of all devotional practices. If you add that in, you can do anything. Visit mandirs, do jap, stay in your home and don't visit any holy place or mandir, but you're doing Roop Dhyan. It's all fine. But whatever you do without Roop Dhyan is not true bhakti, not in the real sense of the word. So that's how Sri Maharaj Ji reconciles all these varying practices of devotion. He says either they're all correct or they're all incorrect, and it all hinges upon one thing. Are you doing Roop Dhyan or not? So then there's no jhagada. No debate or discussion or argument between different sampradaya. Oh, you do devotion like this, that's wrong. Oh, you do it. Or even between different religions. It's all just different ways of physically worshipping God. Okay, you do puja like this, and you happen to do it like that. It's two different ways. Which one is right? Which one is doing Roop Dhyan while they do their puja? That's the one who's right. And the one who's not doing Roop Dhyan is wrong. So in that way, there's no confusion about spiritual practices. You want to know if you're following the spiritual path, following the path of bhakti correctly, just ask yourself, how much time do I spend doing Roop Dhyan? How much time is Shri Krishna in my mind? That much time I'm actually doing correct bhakti, sadhana bhakti. In the next verse, Sri Maharaj Ji talks about the world, because God is described as the source of perfect happiness, but the world is also very attractive to us. And our mind has to make a choice. Is it going to look for, are we going to look for happiness in God, or are we going to look for happiness in the world? So, Sri Maharaj-ji writes the next doha to help us understand what is the nature of worldly happiness and unhappiness, because both are two sides of the very same coin.
Jai Radhe Krishna, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe Krishna, Radhe. 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 Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe. Krishna, Jai Krishna. Jai Krishna. Jag maha sukh dukh do nahi as ur dhari le gyan radhe radhe Sukh mane dukh jag maha sukh dukh do nahi as ur dhari le gyan radhe radhe Sukh mane dukh milat hai Sukh na jagat mahaman radhe radhe सुख माने दुख मिलात है, सुख न जगत महामान राधे राधे। जय राधे कृष्ण राधे 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 कृष्ण 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 राधे।
If you read any of our scriptures, Ramayana, Gita, Bhagavatam, any Puran, Upanishads, or the writings of any of our historical great saints, like any of the Jagadgurus or any of our great Rasik saints of Braj, when it comes to the topic of happiness and renunciation, they don't mince words. They don't beat around the bush. They tell us straight up. Listen to Shankaracharya. He's talking about growing old in this world. He says, as we get old, our teeth fall out, our hair falls out, our body becomes weak, we can't hold our head, it starts wobbling on our neck like that. In other words, our body's falling apart. And even, he's giving an extreme example, our family abandons us. Tells us to get lost. Even in that case, a person doesn't give up the hope of finding happiness in this world. Trishna tu tarunayate. He says, our hope for finding happiness in this world is ever young. It doesn't matter how old and broken down we become, our body becomes old. The life starts to drain out of it. But our hope never goes away. Our hope stays ever young of finding happiness in this world. But have we ever found it? Jagatguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj is in this same tradition. If you listen to most of the people talking about God or good things, religious things, how many of them talk of renunciation or not looking for happiness in the world? Can you find more than you have fingers on one hand? I don't think so. Because people know that nobody, their mind, this man, jo itna ganda hai aur bigda hua hai, we know that this man does not want to give up this world. Kitna bhi galat ho, it doesn't matter. Our mind is attached in this world and doesn't want to give up our worldly attachments, and all the speakers know that. So nobody talks of detachment because they don't want their audience to get up and walk away. But true saints like Shri Kripaluji Maharaj, their laksh, their whole reason for coming in this world is to uplift the souls. They want to take souls towards God. That's the only reason they come. So they have to tell it like it is. Now, you may not lead with that, meaning someone who's just brand new hearing the philosophy for the first time, you would probably not start with talking about renunciation, about not looking for happiness in the world. But at some point, the discussion has to come to this issue. Why?
Udho man na bhaye das bis.
Udho is telling the gopis that just use your mind and meditate on formless God. They said, with what mind will we meditate on Nirakar Brahm?
Tumhara sakha wo le gaya. Hamara man le gaya.
He took our mind, our heart to Mathura with him when he left. That Shri Krishna, your friend. So with what mind are we going to meditate on Nirakar Brahm? We only have one mind, Uddho. It's not like we have 10 or 20 of them lying around, that with one mind we can do this and the other mind we can do that. So we have one mind, and there are two fields in which we can seek happiness and attach that mind. There are three tattva, right? Jeev, Brahma, Maya. So our scriptures and saints tell us, Anando Brahmeti Vyajanat. God is Anand. He is happiness. He has that Ahladini Shakti. He has that Prema Shakti. He's willing to give us that. But we have to attach our mind to Him to get it. Remember, through attaching your mind to Him, you purify your mind, then you get a divine mind, then you get that divine bliss. So if you want true happiness, you have to attach your mind to God. But right now, our mind is already attached in the world. So what mind are we going to attach to God? We don't have a mind to attach to Him. It's already attached in the world. So we have to detach it from the world in order to attach it to Him. So we must discuss this issue of detachment. And in order to get the mind to detach from the world, the mind has to understand the true nature of worldly happiness. That's the only thing the mind wants, after all, is happiness. That's not wrong. Seeking happiness is not wrong. It's just that instead of choosing to seek happiness in God, we've chosen to seek happiness in the world. Why has already been explained. We're bahirmukh from God. We're turned away from God, so Maya has us in its bondage. That causes us to forget our identity as a soul. We identify with the physical body, and then because of that, we say, well, I'm the physical body, so my happiness must be in this physical world. I'm the mayic body, so my happiness must be in the mayic world. So we've always sought happiness in this mayic world. We've never sought happiness from God. Whatever bhakti we've done, almost 99.9% of it would have been to ask God for mayic happiness. So even when we're doing what looks like bhakti, we're only increasing our attachment in this world by... See, if you're asking God for worldly happiness, it means that's where your mind is. It's not in God. So the mind is just getting more and more attached in the world. These are the two fields. Mind right now is seeking happiness in the world, but with the correct education, we can correct our understanding and gradually divert the mind from the world towards God. The education being, you are not the body, you are the soul, and you are a divine soul, so you're eternally related to God. He is yours, not this world. He is happiness, not this world. If that knowledge वो ज्ञान बैठ जाए बुद्धि में. बैठ जाए मीन्स दैट नॉलेज हैज टू गो इन एंड स्टे इन ऑन अ वेरी डीप लेवल. इफ दैट हैपन्स देन आवर माइंड विल स्टार्ट गेटिंग अटैच टू गॉड. Because we're looking for happiness, after all. We're looking for someone who belongs to us everywhere and every face we see in this world. So when we understand Shri Krishna is mine and he is perfect happiness, then our mind will turn to that side. Remember, it's the mind that has to turn, not the body. So when I speak of detachment, I mean detaching the mind from the world and attaching it to God. That's our sadhana. Roop dhyan, why are you going to do roop dhyan? First you have to have this goal in mind that Shri Krishna is mine. I want to meet him and I want to get his divine bliss. I want to serve him in his divine abode. First that goal has to be there, then someone will have the motivation to do roop dhyan. So to have that goal, you have to have the correct knowledge. It doesn't require physically leaving your job, your family, your possessions. It's the mind that has to change. So that fear can be put aside. That, oh, if I follow this path, what do I have to give up? You don't have to give up physically. You just have to change your understanding, correct your understanding, and turn your mind slowly, gradually towards God. But right now the mind is already firmly attached in this world and it believes there's happiness in this world. I haven't found it yet, but it's just around the corner. It's just out of my reach. I didn't get it today, but I'm going to get it tomorrow. We've spent every day of every life we've ever lived believing this. And it's just out of our reach. It's like those greyhounds, those fast dogs that they race. Like instead of horses, they have dog races. So how do they get the dogs to run? They have a rabbit that's on a track on the inside of where the dogs run. And they put some scent on that rabbit that attracts the dogs. So then when the gates open, why are the dogs going to run? There's no jockey sitting on him, making him go. The rabbit goes ahead, and all the dogs smell him, and they chase that rabbit. They chase him all the way around the track, and they see who gets around first. Then that dog is the winner. But did any of those dogs ever catch that rabbit? No. They spend their whole life chasing that rabbit, and they never catch him. So we spend our whole life thinking, oh, I'm just going to get it just now. That happiness is almost in reach. But it's never actually in our hand. We live in hope of happiness. We don't live in actual happiness. So when we understand that, it's like someone lifted a veil from our eyes. Oh, I can see now. Yes, this is the truth of worldly happiness. Here Sri Maharaji gives us some more important information. Jagamaha sukh dukh do nahi. There is no sukh and there is no dukh in this world. Not even a single drop. Now he doesn't mean physical. Yes, there's physical comfort and discomfort. Physical pain is real. But what he means is emotional sukh and dukh. That doesn't exist in the world. That's in our inner world. Remember? There is the outer world which is real and the inner world which is our creation. So sukh and dukh are our creation. They do not exist as a fact in this world. Then why do we experience them? Sri Maharaji says, sukh mane dukh milata hai. Hum log sukh mante hain, right? We say, oh, there is happiness in this thing. Only then our attachment to that thing grows. If your child has been away at school for a whole year, maybe they went to school in California and they're coming back after their college year, how happy are you to meet them? You're so happy. Why? Because you're attached to them. your next door neighbor who knows your child since they were born, as long as you have, are they that happy that your son or daughter is coming back from college? No. They'll come over and make a nice show of it. Oh, beta, it's so nice to see you. But their attachment is in their child. They care about their child. You are attached to your child. So you, the amount of happiness you're getting from your child returning home, nobody else is getting that. Why not? If there is happiness in that person, jo aapko mil raha hai, why shouldn't everybody be able to get it? There's water in this glass. It's going to be the same wetness for everybody. No matter who drinks it, it's wet. So if there's happiness in a person, everybody should be able to experience it. But it's, you know, it doesn't happen that way. Only the one who's attached to that person gets the happiness from meeting with that person. Less attachment, less happiness. No attachment, it's good, it's fine. No reaction. Negative attachment, if you have dvesh for that person, dislike that person, then when that person comes back, you feel unhappiness. So the very same person can give one happiness and another unhappiness. And the very same person who's giving you happiness right now will give you unhappiness when they go away. Or when they treat you badly. When someone that you're not attached to treats you badly, it doesn't have nearly the same effect as the one who to whom you're attached. You say, oh, mujhe usse kya matlab hai? I don't mind. He's a total stranger. But when a family member, or your husband or your wife insults you, then it's a big deal. So to the extent that we believe there's happiness in a person, to that same extent we experience happiness in meeting with them, and we experience unhappiness in separation from them. It's the same with objects of this world. When you start thinking about an object as a source of happiness, the more you think about it, the more, bit by bit, your mind gets attached. And then when you get that thing, oh, you feel happy. Why? Is there happiness in that thing? No. The very same thing could make someone else unhappy. Someone who is attached to alcohol feels very happy drinking alcohol. Put alcohol in front of Panditji when he's having his dinner, utke bhag jayenge wahan se. Even bhale hi ganga jal ho, if you put ganga jal in a bottle that has a sticker that says it's whiskey or something, put that in front of Panditji, he'll get up and run away from his dinner. So alcohol is giving unhappiness to someone and is giving happiness to someone else who's attached to it. So this is the nature of how our mind works. There's no happiness in the actual person or in the actual object. It's all according to our thinking. Repeated thinking in a positive way creates a positive attachment. However big that attachment is, that much you're going to desire for that person or thing. And in exactly the same proportion, you will experience happiness when you meet with that person or you get that thing. Another outcome of this, another outcome of it being just something that you created in your own mind, is that it doesn't last. See, when your son or daughter comes home from college, when you first meet with them, that's when you really enjoy the happiness. After an hour, it might be 50%. By the next day, it might be down to 10%. Then it's just back to normal. So if there was actual real happiness in that person, you should be able to get the same amount from them all the time. Why should it decrease? It's a real thing that's there. It's not like you're using it up, right? By enjoying it, are you using up the happiness? Like it just runs out? No, that doesn't make sense. So it decreases because your mind gets desensitized to having the association of that person or having that thing, and it's no longer enjoyable. Just like standing in front of a beautiful painting, how long will you stand? You'll keep looking at that painting for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour. Eventually you get bored. What the beauty you saw in the first glance, like you go all the way to Paris, to the Louvre, to see the Mona Lisa, the most famous painting in the world. Maybe you're an art student, so you've thought of seeing that for your whole life. Okay, great. How long are you going to stand now in front of Mona Lisa before you get bored? So everything in this world has that same quality of giving decreasing happiness, and that too only based on our attachment to that thing. So, jaga maha sukha nahi. There is no sukha na jagata mahaman. Don't think that there is happiness in this world. Think that the happiness you experience is the creation of your own mind. So that's why it can vanish in an instant. It can decrease gradually. In fact, the very same thing that gave you happiness can give you unhappiness. So this happiness and unhappiness, the emotional happiness and unhappiness, is our own creation. It's not a fact of this world. So if you understand that, then you're going to want to seek true happiness, which actually substantially exists. That is God. God is the very form of happiness. He's not an imagined thing. He's an actual divine existence who is true happiness. So if you reach Him, then you will also experience true happiness. This is what we have to keep in mind if we want to guide our mind from its attachment in this world towards God. Now, to make this happen, we have to have the help of a true God-realized saint who can help us transfer the attachment of our mind from this world to God. So in the next doha, Sri Maharaj-ji says that there is a balance. However much your mind withdraws from worldly attachments, that much only it will become attached to God. And that process of transferring, detaching from the world and becoming attached to God, that will only happen when your mind is attached to the lotus feet of a true saint. So this is another very important part of the path of bhakti, which we'll understand when we take up this doha tomorrow. Puliye Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki Jai.